Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
And good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. Thursday is always a lot of fun. Sort of gets the football weekend started with us here on Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kaster here. Chad Chambers producing for us. Man in that IHOP hotline, 869-1240, brought to you by IHOP. Celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves, all your favorites for just $6, Monday through Friday. Glad to be here with you. We'll have a couple guests in today. Our betting insider, PJ Glasser, will join the program in just about 30 minutes from now. We'll also have in our K-State insider. We talked the KU half of it with Sri Islatis yesterday. Today, we go to Tim Fitzgerald. Go PowerCat.com. He'll help us look ahead for the Wildcats' Big Sunflower Showdown this weekend. A Thursday night football game that I'm actually pretty excited about. I think this one will be a lot of fun. So we'll get with PJ on that, see about our bets. Looking forward to it. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Happy Thursday. Good to see you today. Good to be here. And I'm getting really excited for the Sunflower Showdown this weekend. I feel like earlier this week, obviously dominated by the NFL and then, of course, the DeAndre Hopkins news yesterday, all of that. I kind of feel like today I can focus in on getting ready for the Sunflower Showdown. It's a big matchup, obviously. It always is. But with the way that things have, you know, gone over the last week or so with both programs, man, I'm probably more excited about the Sunflower Showdown than I have been in some time.
Yeah, it's not quite where we were, where we thought we'd be with it, right, at the start of the year. But I do think it's back to a point where if you're a K-State fan, you can have concern. And if you're a KU fan, you feel like you can go get one. It's going to be tough. K-State at home has been really, 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 really good under Chris Klieman. So we'll get Fitz's take on it, see how much he has concerned now versus maybe where we would have been a month or so ago. We'll get into all that. We'll get into Thursday Night Football. I want to go back to the Chiefs, though, Tommy. Yesterday was the big DeAndre Hopkins news. We didn't really get any reaction, I guess, because nothing was official yesterday. So Andy Reid's kind of joking around, wouldn't really say anything about it. But it's a good fit. It's a need. And now, like, my brain keeps churning of should they and can they try to do anything else? And I think the answer to that's probably yes. I mean, I think you at least kick the tires around and see what's out there. I don't know. And I don't even mean like specifically of need. I just like if teams are more prone to trade, and I feel like they're more prone to trade now than they ever have been, right? Like the last few years, it just each year it feels like we see more. There was a time where I don't remember ever seeing midseason trades. Like midseason trades did not happen in the NFL. We're starting to see more of it. And so now I'm like, well, if teams are going to be willing to let go of players and sort of do the old Major League Baseball thing, maybe it is a good move to get aggressive like this. And so for the Chiefs, like I keep wondering, yeah, the DeAndre Hopkins move is the important one. Should they do something else? And I do think like looking around is at least worth some time. Like, what if there's a pass rusher out there? What if there is an aging, expensive offensive lineman you could somehow, you know, find a way for? I saw a lot yesterday of rumors that about another receiver, not rumors, but like conjecture about maybe getting another receiver on the cheap. And I would definitely not be opposed to that either because of, you know, all the injuries and 32-year-old DeAndre Hopkins, who's already had an injury this year, you know, even backing him up. So I think it'll be a curious couple of weeks with that. It's just strange because we see more trades now than we've ever seen before.
I'll be blunt. I don't really care one way or the other if the Chiefs do anything or not. I mean, I obviously was excited about DeAndre Hopkins coming in, and you know, I was wrong in the way that Brett Veach approached all of this. for me, it's kind of been satisfied a little bit. Like, okay, like he went and made a move. It's a high impact move potentially, you know, assuming that Hopkins can, you know, stay healthy, but then also integrate himself into the offense pretty quickly and what that might mean for a playoff run, especially if they can get Hollywood Brown back and all of that. So I feel good about all of that. For me, it's kind of satisfied. If they go and get somebody else, cool. If they don't, cool. Like, let's just roll forward. Let's make it happen. And honestly, like, there hasn't been, you know, since yesterday, after the Hopkins news broke, there hasn't even been a single moment since then in the last 24 hours that I've had this thought of, okay, what's next? Who are they going to go after next? What should they look for next? That hasn't been in my mind at all. Maybe it has been in others and in yours, but one way or the other, it honestly doesn't matter to me, because I feel like they accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. And from there, it is what it is. I'm cool either way.
Yeah, I'm cool. Like, I think they've satisfied at least my don't get complacent piece of this for sure. I just wonder, in a time where you can be aggressive, if there's an opportunity to be aggressive. My guess would be no. I don't think any offensive lineman that can help is coming on the market. I don't think any defensive lineman that can help is coming on the market. And if they do, if the Lions don't become the highest bidder for any pass rusher, they're crazy, right? So I think it's unlikely. I do think, though, that as you look around, and DeMarcus Robinson is the name that keeps popping up and keeps popping up and keeps popping up. And we both like that player. I think he'd be fine to bring in because I don't think he'd cost you anything. But the Rams will be interesting. And I bring that up because Cooper Kupp's been this trade rumored player. They're going to get Puka Nacua back moderately soon. The Rams are a pretty interesting team. You know, excuse me, if they can get both of those two players back, they're not totally out of it by any means, but it feels like they think they are, right? Kyren Williams has been as effective as he was last year, but their reinforcements are about to arrive. They're 3-point dogs at home tonight. I'm surprised at them being already so involved in all these rumors, because if they're that close to getting those two players back at 2-4 in the NFC in that division when the Niners are down, like, who are you scared of in that division? I just, like, if I'm the Rams, I still feel like I've got a shot at this thing if Kupp and Nacua are coming back in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, and I haven't heard. I mean, I know obviously it sounded like the Chiefs had conversations with the Rams about Cooper Kupp. But really, other than that, everything that I've heard regarding the Rams has been conjecture. It has been rumors and assumptions, and like, there hasn't been anything definitive that, yep, they're blowing it up. They're not, they don't feel like they're going to make a playoff push. And so let's try to move some pieces and get some value in return. I haven't heard that definitively. And now, of course, we're still a little over a week away from the trade deadline. And so that could always change between now and then with another slate of games this weekend. But as of now, I don't get the sense that there's this big overhaul sell-off that the Rams are looking at doing.
I mean, it looks like Nacua is going to play tonight. So, and look, the reporting on Kupp was not just the Chiefs. It's that he was being shopped. And it, and that report was out by a lot of people. So if Nacua goes to, and I would just look at it this way, like, if, even if they can't find a way to beat Minnesota tonight, I think it's a really interesting game tonight. I'm actually really, really excited about this game tonight, especially if those two guys play. They go to Seattle next week. They can figure, if they can win in Seattle, like, they're in it. Like, I would not write the Rams off, even if they don't win tonight at 2-5, because that division and the 49ers are hobbled. And it just, nobody else scares me, I guess. So we'll see on them. But, you know, the rumors continue to float around the trade deadline. I do think it's interesting that trades are made now far more often than they used to be. At least it feels that way. And I always kind of wondered why they didn't happen earlier. Like, if you were a team that really did suck, I think in the NFL, we see it more than any other sport, the quick turnarounds happen. I mean, look at the Texans, right? The Texans got that thing turned around way quick. Why? Because they piled up a bunch of draft picks. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if the Chiefs do anything else, but no other significant rumors to get to as far as the Chiefs go. And unfortunately, we didn't get any reaction to the Hopkins news from any of the coaches or anything yesterday. We'll check in on the practice reports and those kinds of things throughout. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. PJ Glasser joins us bottom of the hour to help us talk about this Rams-Vikings game. Don't go away. Sports Daily coming back.
97.5 and 1240.
Portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club, and the events don't slow down in the fall at the club. Still, of course, golf and then tennis events like the Glow in the Dark Triples event. It's a one time per year special event for the Halloween season. You don't want to miss it. The indoor courts get blacked out. Tennis court and net will be illuminated via black light. The high energy, fast paced event will have you getting a great workout in while having fun playing triples. You'll be a part of a team of three or four taking on other teams of three or four. You rotate after every point. Voting on the best costume, prizes available for first and second. The loud music's there, drinks a la carte. I'm going to try, Tommy, to get out to Crestview and play about six holes of golf when we get off the air today, if I can. I know the wind is supposed to come in howling with this little warm front, and so that almost deterred me, but I'm going to get out there and try it.
Are you a tennis player, by the way? Are you, like, do you? No. I know your wife does it. I didn't know if you played tennis at all.
No, I like pickleball. I like pickleball, ping pong, pickleball,
badminton,
those kinds.
Badminton fan?
I've never tried badminton.
Oh, I love badminton.
I played baseball my whole life, so tennis has always deceived me. I've never really been able to, and I haven't tried that hard to get it, but I love like pickleball and ping pong and that kind of stuff. We'll see. But get out there. Lots of golf, lots of tennis, all the good stuff at Crestview. Tell them we sent you. Did you see this Brandon Aubrey story, Tommy? Brandon Aubrey missed practice yesterday for the Cowboys, their kicker, because of jury duty. That's what was listed on the injury report, jury duty. And it like you sometimes we shake our head at that and like, well, really? Come on. He's really in it. Now, it sounds like he'll be able to play. The jury didn't get sequestered so he can play. But man, like, what a bummer. Like, if you're like, could you imagine, like, if you don't have your a player, if you're a pro athlete, and I read in like some of the reporting that I'm looking at CBSSports.com right now, and it says oftentimes you can get out of it for work or school or something. I'm like, no, you can't. Like, not every time I've been involved, I try because everybody's got work, like, everybody's got a story.
Yeah, but
what makes his job more important than my job?
Whether or not he's able to get out of it is a completely different topic than you could try to delay it. Like, I've done that before where, look, right now is not a great time, so, like, let's push it back. And typically, like, that's happened to me. I mean, couldn't Aubrey say...
For jury duty?
Yeah, like, hey, you kind of have, at least in my experience...
Oh, you mean take a different
jury in a few months... get on another list to be contacted a few months later.
Yeah.
Couldn't Aubrey have said, I'm a little busy right now, like, contact me in March?
Not, actually, he, you know he what? Chose to do his civic duty.
Considering that he's a Cowboy, he could have only delayed it to January because they're not making the playoffs. So he could have easily been able to jump on a jury in the month of January.
Yeah, maybe he was just like, I really don't want to go play the 49ers.
That could have been it too.
To be fair, like, you're not going to be in court on a Sunday. So you'd have to be you'd have to be on like a murder trial probably to, but I have been in those where like I'm in there. I'll never forget, man. I was in one time and I was in charge of the sports department at the TV station in Amarillo, and it was Friday Night Football, right? It was, that's the biggest thing that happens in that market. It's high school football. And I'm like, okay. So I go in. And I'm like, guys, I can't miss that. And they're like, I'm the only person that can do that job. Like, now I'm the only person. And so they're like, well, sorry. And I'm like, what do you mean sorry? the show won't go on. Like, what are you talking about? And they wouldn't. I'm like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. And they go through, and that case was a well-known, we'll call him TV lawyer. Right. And he was going to take to court and a jury trial, a parking ticket. And so I went to high school with his son or something. So eventually, like, as they go through their questioning, they don't typically like TV people. So you can get out of it. They're going through their questioning and you know, they're like, does anybody know who the attorney? And of course, everybody raises their hand because he's on every commercial and billboard and everything else. And then eventually it's like, does anybody think this is absolutely ridiculous that we would be wasting all your time? And I'm like, yes, like this is a waste of my time. And I don't. And so they, you know, they booted me pretty quick. I have you been through the entire process before?
I have one time, and it was here in Wichita. It was a.
Did you make it to trial?
I didn't make it to trial. It was a murder trial, I just so happened to, be in the pool or whatever. Went through that process, and you know, like I think most people, there are a lot of people that out there that when they walk in, they are scheming. Like trying to find a way to get out of it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But I was young. I was probably 23 or 24. And, you know, it's a little intimidating when you're that young and you're going in through that process and, you know, whatever. And I was working in the radio business at that point, but I was young in my career and I was on the air and all of that. And we got through the questioning of the different jurors or whatever. And they asked me what I did for a living. And I told them, well, I'm a DJ on a radio station here in Wichita. And I remember I think it was the defense attorney said, do you think you would be able to refrain from talking about this case on your radio show? And the light bulb went off in my head. And I'm like, you know, I would do my best, but I can't promise. You know, because like I've got to talk about my life. And that's a really important thing that we do in this business. And I was very quickly removed from the jury pool.
Yeah,
and I got to go.
I made it. So it also here, there was, it wasn't, it was going to be a bad one. Like the person on trial had done some bad things or was accused of doing some bad things. And I made it through to the courtroom. Like I made it through the first wave and I'm like, God, that never happens. Cause I don't know why I've been picked for those things a bunch. And usually people, if I got works on TV, no. But I make it through that first wave. So like I'm in the courtroom. I don't remember if I was an alternate or like I was down to the end. And so like we're in the jury box being questioned by the attorney, like we're on trial.
Right.
Like it wasn't just that preliminary stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, that defense attorney, they don't like me for some reason. That he was like, Wait, because he did the same thing. Like, what do you do? And we went through it. I'm like, on TV. And he starts like going off about like how the TV news business works and like just like saying these things as if they're true. And I'm just sitting there like the more it went on, like I'm just getting real annoyed, like shaking my head and people are looking at me. And he finally got to me and I don't remember what I said, but I basically told him what I thought about that. And I wasn't even trying to get dismissed on that one. I was just like, I'm not going to sit here and listen to this guy run his mouth about something he doesn't know anything about. And the lady next to me, she was like, you're going to be gone. I was like, yeah, I'm
right. You're not getting selected for this.
I wasn't even trying to. And maybe he was trying to goad me, but man, it was pissing me off. And I'm like, well, like, what is this? Like, who are you?
What do you think for Brandon Aubrey? What do you think would be more painful, sitting through a trial on a jury or being a member of the Cowboys? That's a really right difficult question to answer.
He's got as good a gig as you can get there, because you can kind of stay back and be like, all right, you guys need me here. I'm going to pop out there and rip this field goal because he's awesome. That'd be tough. I don't know that I would like the stress of actually going all the way through. Like the more that went on, I was like, man, this is going to stress me. I thought I was going to be on that trial. So probably, I don't know. He wanted to go. He could have got out of it. Yeah, he didn't. So I don't know if that's an indictment on Jerry Jones or what that is. But
and you know, we talked about being able to. He could have maybe delayed it or pushed it back or whatever, because that happens pretty frequently. But you know, it's interesting because he could have. And I know it. People usually can't do this sort of thing. But when you're connected to Jerry Jones, Jerry Jones could probably pick up the phone call and completely get him removed from that. Probably,
I hope,
would be my guess.
I hope if Jerry Jones gets called in, he's got to sit through it. Like that's,
and they
like, we should all have to sit through.
They sequester him in a hotel room for the next 3 months.
Yes.
They have an acting general manager.
I'm sorry, this is like, can somebody do something and you don't get to do anything. You have to stay here. You can't talk to the media. You can't make a trade. You can't sign a contract.
You can't re-sign anybody.
Might not be a bad idea. They're going to need Aubrey because you know they're not going to score any touchdowns. I mean, they got to kick field goals here. Just like the rest of us there, I do not like that process. I do not like that feeling of getting that letter. I don't like any of it. I'm like, oh no.
The worst thing is when you get the letter and then you have to call the phone number like on that day at that time. And then they might tell you to call back the next day. Like I went through that one time where it was like, I want to say like 2 weeks every day. At the end of, like at 5 o'clock every single day, I had to make a phone call. And there were times I would call and it wasn't ready. So I'd have to call back 10 minutes later. And then I have to do it the next day. And then I just, and I don't, I'm not trying to, I mean, civic duty is important, right? Like you called, you serve. I get that. Yep. I'm on board with it, whatever. The process sometimes is not fun.
I'm going to tell you what one of the worst jobs I can imagine is being the person on the phone when you call who has to listen to everybody try to get out of it. 100%. Like, and be like, no, I'm sorry. You're going to have to still come. Yep. Like that would be one of the worst jobs ever. Or maybe somebody would like that punishment, but like everybody's got, we've all got an excuse not to do it, right? We've all got jobs. That's funny to see an NFL player and for him to actually go instead of go to practice. I wonder if he got his $8
or whatever it is. I think he'd rather go sit on a jury than have to be in the practice facility for the Cowboys right now.
I think you might be right. I think you might be right. PJ Glasser will join us next. Thursday night football is pretty interesting. The Rams might be at full strength. It's only a 3-point spread. I'm in love with this game. I think it's going to make us some money. We'll find out the ways to bet it when we return.
Bob and Jeff, afternoons at 2 on KFH. The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody. On the line right now, the host of Send It In and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the Send It In podcast for more analysis. Just search Send It In wherever you find your podcast, including on the Odyssey app. We welcome in PJ Glasser. PJ, how are you? Welcome in. Good morning. Happy Thursday to you.
Yeah, you guys as well. Good morning to you. How you doing?
Good. Look, I'm excited about this game tonight. Looks like Puka Nacua might go. Cooper Kupp's going to go. Like, we get the Rams at full strength. It's a tight spread. Two good offenses, we think. This feels like a game we might be able to make a little money tonight.
It does. Yeah, guys, in the betting space, we call this the pros versus Joes type game, right? And we know the last 2 weeks that all the Joes, all the public betting has been doing incredibly well. A ton of favorites have been winning. All the popular sides have been winning. And once again, they're hammering the Vikings. A game they very easily could have won against the Lions last week, could be undefeated, only laying a short number against this Rams team that they're getting a lot of good news out of the injury report. Cooper Kupp is going to be back tonight, and it's looking like there's a chance that they could get Puka back as well. So obviously if the Rams have their top two receivers, it changes a lot about their offense, but a lot of the public is betting Minnesota and this Flores defense against that banged up Rams offensive line. But the way that you can attack them, and I think Detroit gave you the blueprint for that last week, is running the football. Kyren Williams has been awesome this season for the Rams, and we know Sean McVay wants to run the football. So right now, a lot of the smart bettors, a lot of the professional money, guys, is coming in on the Rams right now, and I like the Rams as well at +3. Wouldn't even stun me if once we get the news that Puka is back, if this line maybe even drops to 2.5. So I like LA. I like them +3. I take a shot on the money line as well. I think they bounce back. Sean McVay, since he's entered the league, has been one of the best coaches in the NFL off a short rest. So obviously a shortened week on a Thursday. I like the Rams tonight, guys.
Would there be any hesitation, PJ, in your mind with the fact that if they do get Puka back and then, of course, Cooper Kupp playing, that it might take a minute for that offense to click on all cylinders? Or do you think it's full steam ahead for what Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford want to do?
It's a good question. I think just because of the way that offense is built, Tommy, and they don't really look to maybe like force feed a guy necessarily. It's just kind of like who's open, and it's kind of just the flow of the offense that I think they'll be okay. Kupp, obviously, over the last couple of years has suffered his fair share of injuries, so he's used to coming back and making an impact that way. And Puka, I just, you know, think he's one of the best receivers when he's healthy. So I think he'll be fine. And again, it helps the Rams that they do do have a good running game and that Kyren is so good that I think that's going to really attract the attention of Minnesota tonight and allow, you know, Kupp and Puka to kind of ease into this game a little bit. So I like the Rams with or without Puka, but certainly if he plays, even better for LA.
For sanity's sake, PJ, I really want you to tell me that you like the over. It's 48. The Rams don't hit that very often, but we know these are capable of being two big offenses. In the interest of our, you know, same game parlays and stupid bets, could you tell us that this is, we got a chance to go over and we're going to have lots of numbers pile up here?
Certainly has a chance. I'm personally not touching the total with these Thursday games. It's so tough. I mean, you know, last week that Saints Broncos game went over. It had no business of going over, but New Orleans just kept turning the ball over that the Saints were scoring. We obviously had that Bucks Falcons game a couple weeks ago that was a shootout. Generally, these Thursday night games tend to be like a little sloppy, a little ugly, and low scoring. So when you see a high total like this, a 48, it does concern me. Both teams are so well coached, though. Both teams have quarterbacks that are playing good football. And now with the receivers coming back for the Rams, I mean, both are going to be pretty close to full strength at the skill position. So I think you can make a case for either. It's not an official play for me, but I do think, Jacob, that people that want to play their short game parlays tonight, look at any time touchdown scores, bet the overs on, you know, rushing yards, receiving yards, all that. I think this is a good game to do it.
Let's talk about the Chiefs a little bit, PJ. It's interesting because it's a Kansas City team that has covered the number in all but one of their games this season. Of course, they were underdogs last week in San Francisco. They won the game outright, obviously. But it's wild in the way that they've been doing it, considering that you know, Patrick Mahomes hasn't had his best statistical season by any stretch. But then they go out and they add DeAndre Hopkins yesterday and bring him in. It looks like they're going to try to have him ready to go for the game this weekend in Vegas. They're taking on a Raiders team that doesn't have Devontae Adams anymore. The Chiefs right now are 10-point favorites on the road in Vegas. I mean, double digits like that, that's scary to me, even though the Chiefs have covered the number in all but one game.
Yeah, I mean, as you guys know, it feels like when these two teams play, it feels like the road team plays better in this matchup, right? It feels like when we're in Vegas, the Chiefs play better, and it feels like when we're at Arrowhead, the Raiders usually play them really tough. Last year on Christmas, they upset them. The year before on Monday Night Football, they lost by a point. When Gruden was the coach there, I remember Derek Carr and the Raiders going in there and beating them outright. So it feels like when the Raiders are in Arrowhead, they tend to play Kansas City pretty tough. But whenever you get the Chiefs on the road in Vegas, it feels like they tend to play pretty well in these kind of matchups. The Raiders are just such a mess on offense right now. Obviously, trading away Adams. Minshew's back at quarterback for them. They just can't score points. Antonio Pierce, I mean, a lot of us figured he probably wasn't going to be a very good NFL head coach. I think he's confirmed that a little bit. So, look, it is the NFL. Any given Sunday, the Raiders did beat the Ravens earlier on in the season, you know, so they certainly can keep this game close. It is a divisional game. As you guys know, though, I mean, Mahomes is one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen in divisional road games. So he's really good at Denver, at LA, at Las Vegas. This number was at 10. It's now down to 9.5. You know, the Chiefs in a teaser, 3.5, I think could be a good look. Their defense has been so good. Now with Hopkins coming in as well to help in that offense, it would honestly be Chiefs or pass for me this week, guys.
I think the Chiefs, PJ, are going to run the ball like crazy. I don't think they want Crosby going up against a weak left tackle spot. When you know that and you see it and you have a feel for how you think the flow of a game might go, does that help you? Like, I Chiefs games at 41 on the over under field, like, that just feels crazy low. But if you know they have one of the best defenses and they're almost certainly going to try to run the ball a ton, can you use that stuff when you're looking at over unders?
Definitely. I would look at team totals, guys. Like, I would look at a Raiders team total under 15.5, you know, especially if that's the game plan, Jacob. Like, if they want to run the ball, obviously chew clock, then that's going to help their defense stay fresh. And then that's going to help the Raiders offense stay off the field. So that's the way I was kind of leaning in this game too, like Raiders team total under, another way of approaching this game. We know how great Kansas City's defense has been this season. 15.5 for Vegas. Like, Do you see them scoring 16, 17 points in this game? I don't. I think their path to cover in this game would be like 20 to 13 or somewhere in that neighborhood, kind of a similar score to what we saw against the Rams last week for Las Vegas. This offense just isn't going to be able to put up a lot of points this year, especially when they go up against good defenses. So great point about obviously the injuries to the Chiefs offensive line. Yes, Hopkins, you know, coming in to the Chiefs offensive system, going to take him a little bit to kind of learn that. I think Raiders team total under is another good look.
It's a weird week in the NFL as far as matchups are concerned. There's a lot of matchups between one team that has a great record and one team that has a pretty terrible record, the Chiefs and Raiders. That's obviously one example, but you know, you've got matchups like the Lions at home against the one-win Titans, and then you've got the Ravens on the road at the Browns. The one matchup that is interesting to me, because I feel like both of these teams kind of sneaked up on everybody this year and they both have good records, the Bears and the Commanders on Sunday afternoon. That's a fun matchup when you're talking about Caleb Williams. Jaden Daniels, I know, had that rib injury last week, but it doesn't look like it's super severe. But that's a fun matchup just from a team perspective. What do you like in that matchup? Because that's one that honestly kind of snuck up on me.
Yeah, I'm definitely approaching this game like Jaden Daniels isn't going to play. So for me, there's no rush in betting it. I'm waiting to see if maybe some threes start to pop up with Washington and we can get them at +3 with Mariota starting. If we do, I would like Washington in that spot. But one of my favorite player props of the week, guys, I'm going with DJ Moore over 56.5 receiving yards. Last year against this Commanders defense, the Bears and Commanders played on Thursday night. It was the Bears' first win of the season. Moore went for 10 catches, 280 yards, and 3 touchdowns in this game against Washington. I think a lot of people probably remember that game, and he went absolutely insane against Washington secondary. And, you know, their pass defense isn't all that great this year. DJ hasn't had that breakout game yet. And, you know, you get the Bears coming off of a bye. Caleb's been getting better and better each and every week for Chicago. So that's the bet that I like in that game is DJ Moore over 56.5 receiving yards.
The mess game of the week, Cowboys 49ers, betting insider PJ Glasser joining us. I don't even know how you attack. I mean, my gut tells me that the Cowboys, who've been pretty good on the road and not good at home, getting 4 points with all the 49er injuries is probably the way to go with that.
Yeah.
But with two franchises that are nowhere near where people thought they would be at this point of the season, I mean, it's a mess a little bit. Cowboys off of a bye, though, 4 points and all those injuries.
I mean, it's crazy to think about. Like San Francisco, I mean, they're in danger of dropping a 3-5 on the season. But you're right, Jacob. It could only be Cowboys or pass for me at +4 just because of all the injuries. This is the conversation with Brock Purdy, right? And this was the debate for like the last 2 years when he realized he was going to be the full-time guy for San Francisco is it's all great when it's working and when everybody's healthy. And when you got Ayuk out there and you got McCaffrey and Kittle and Debo and all these guys, Trent Williams, when they're all healthy, that's when they're clicking. As we know, though, they're not fully healthy. They still don't have McCaffrey. Ayuk's out for the year. Debo's battling pneumonia. He's still 50-50 whether or not he's going to play. Kittle's banged up. The thing that concerns me is just the historical dominance recently that San Francisco has had over Dallas. Like, they are their kryptonite, especially in the postseason. So that's the one thing that makes me a little bit nervous. But I feel like this line's just going to continue to drop. Like, I feel like this could close at 3.5. Maybe even touch 3 potentially. So I still think you're getting a good number with Dallas. Another prop I like, though, Jordan Mason over 17.5 rushing attempts for San Francisco in this game. The reason the Niners have had such success against Dallas in these last couple of years is because their ability to run, not only with their backs, but this is a game where Shanahan usually likes to use Debo a lot. And again, whether or not Debo plays or doesn't play is not going to be 100%. So I think this is going to be a game where they try to lean on Jordan Mason. We know the Cowboys have those injuries up front. Their run defense has not been very good this season. And with the injuries to your receiving core, you know, you just do not want Brock Purdy playing hero ball. We saw what that looked like against Kansas City on Sunday, and there was a lot of turnovers and it didn't look good. So I think Shanahan's going to lean on the ground game. I expect a lot of Jordan Mason early and often. So I like his over rushing attempts. And if I had to pick a side, I would take Dallas +4.
Let's jump over to college football, PJ. The Sunflower Showdown on Saturday, Kansas State this is a matchup that is always, you know, got so much hype around it and attention around this area for sure. Both of these teams are, you know, continuing to trend upwards. Kansas finally broke that losing streak last week at home against Houston and looked pretty good offensively while doing it. We kind of saw vintage Jalen Daniels in that matchup against the Cougars. Meanwhile, Kansas State continues to ride high on the road. They obviously took down Colorado a couple weeks ago and then on the road at Morgantown in West Virginia last week. Now this game is back in Manhattan. The Wildcats are laying double digits, 10 points. Is there a play in this game or an angle that you like?
Yeah, I like Kansas, guys. I do. At plus 10, I would like them. You know, this line opened at 11.5. Now it's down to 10. So you got a lot of smart people that are driving that line down for the Jayhawks. This, for me, we're starting to get to the point in college football now where we start to get some of these rivalry games. And you get certain matchups where you have a team that's having a good season and it has everything to play for versus their rival who's having a down year. And this game is truly their Super Bowl, right? Like Kansas, everything that's gone wrong for them this year has gone wrong. The one way maybe they can salvage their season and a positive that they can bring out of this, obviously, is beating their in-state rival in Kansas State. So I like when you get these matchups in a Kansas team who Leipold is going to just unload the playbook this game, right? And they're going to treat this as their Super Bowl, trick plays, do everything they possibly can to win this game. Kansas State's coming off two really impressive road wins at night, right? Colorado, West Virginia. Now you come home, you're double-digit favorites, going up against a Jayhawk team at the beginning of the year you thought was going to be a massive game. Now it turns out they've been one of the worst teams in the Big 12. So I think it's a tough game for Kansas State. And I like these rivalry games when we get a team in Kansas that has the capability of hanging tough with Kansas State. And I think they will. So I like the Jayhawks plus the points, guys.
You get two sides of it almost, Pete, because we know that Kansas has lost so many close games late. And that's been their trend, right, to play these close games. But on the flip side of that, K-State has crushed people at home this year. They crushed Arizona at home. They crushed Oklahoma State at home. That's where I have a hard time with it. Like, which one of those trends pushes through, that KU plays close games or that K-State dominates at home? I love the over. 55.5 seems too low to me. Both of these defenses are gettable. And
they are, and certainly the way that Kansas State's offense has looked the last couple weeks, I think they'll be able to move the ball. Kansas, I think, could be able to put up some points as well. I do think the over is a good look. I think Kansas is going to play really well. I really do. I think you mentioned that they've played people tough. Kansas State has been really good at home, but just think it's a different, you know, not all home games are created equally. Obviously, you could be coming off of a tough win or a tough stretch or be bouncing back after a loss, whatever it may be. Kansas State coming off those two tough road games against Colorado and West Virginia, little concern for them in this game against Kansas. And again, because of that, maybe their defense is, you know, not as sharp as it's been, as it was against West Virginia last week. So, yeah, give me the Jayhawks. I like them plus the 10.
You know, coming off of last week, PJ, when it was just a loaded slate of college football matchups, not quite as high profile this week, and probably the biggest top 25 matchup is, of course, LSU on the road at College Station taking on Texas A&M. Are there other matchups this weekend in college football that you like?
Love Texas, guys. I think they're going to absolutely stomp Vanderbilt. I love Georgia, as you know, last week. It's just like, it was one of those spots. It's like when we were talking about with the Chiefs. I mean, if they're going to give us the Chiefs as dogs, we're going to take the Chiefs. If they're going to give me Georgia as a dog, I'm going to take Georgia as a dog. So it didn't matter that it was Texas. Anybody in that spot was going to struggle against Georgia. Like, Georgia was always going to play well in that game. And this is what a lot of people struggle with in sports betting, is when you think one thing about a team and then you watch them play a game or a week goes by and it completely changes your perception about what you thought. Everybody thought Texas was the unquestioned number one team in the country. They thought their offense, their defense, they were completely loaded. And now after Georgia made them look human And with Vanderbilt's track record this year as an underdog, people are very concerned to lay 18.5 points with Texas, even though Vandy's been unbelievable as a dog this year. Like, you need some context in some of the spots that they've been dogs in those games. They opened up the year against Virginia Tech, who had a ton of expectations in the ACC, lost that game. They played Missouri right before their bye week when Missouri had some big games upcoming, got them in a good spot. Obviously played Alabama the week directly after that big win against Georgia. So now Vandy's got to get Texas off of a loss. And this is the kind of team that Texas has been dominating all season. So Vandy's ranked. They're having an incredible year. They've been great as a dog, which I think is why a lot of people are going to like them. I am not one of them. I think this is a get right game for the Longhorns. All the people out there that like Texas against Georgia is the reason why you should like them this week against Vandy. I think they're going to roll.
I like it. I like it. PJ, we appreciate it. We're going to follow your work all week long and talk again next week. Let's enjoy a competitive, high-scoring Thursday night football game tonight.
Absolutely. Always good talking to you guys. Have a good week.
There goes PJ Glasser, the host of Send It In, Odyssey Sports betting insider for us. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. You in on this game tonight, Tommy? There's just a lot of star power in it, and I love that.
I'm good with it. I mean, the Vikings are for real, even with Sam Darnold at quarterback, right? I mean, like, they very nearly knocked off the Lions last week, and that was such a fun game between two of the best teams in the entire NFL. The Rams have been sort of just kind of hanging out behind the scenes for quite a while now. And it's just, that's dangerous. Like, that's dangerous territory. I know that they've had injuries and all of that, but man, Kyren Williams is just awesome. Like, he's probably, I mean, is he the best running back in the NFL? He's at least top three.
Well, not
as of right
Henry
now.
Right?
Derrick
right
Henry
now,
is probably number one, but Kyren Williams is two or three, I would say.
And Saquon. Yeah,
Saquon's there too. He's in the top three for sure. And that's great.
Home dogs.
That's great.
I'm kind of with PJ, 3-point home dogs. Yeah. I'm probably just going to stay away from the spread, but man, this is one of those where I want to bet the over just because I want it to be over so bad.
Yeah.
Like, I want all these star players to be balling out, and I'm really excited about this Thursday night game.
Who I feel really happy for this matchup is Al Michaels. Like, he gets a matchup that's actually probably going to be fun instead of sitting through just stinkers week after week after week.
I love that he lets us know,
for sure,
that they're so terrible.
I mean, the matchup last week, the Broncos and the Saints, like, I didn't watch.
He's right there with us. He's right there with the rest of us.
He didn't want to be there, so I feel happy for him.
Yeah, it's painting the picture. That's what his job is. All right, when we come back, we'll get more into the Sunflower Showdown. We're going to look at the K-State side of things. Our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald, hops on with us when we return on Sports Daily.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
He's got all the what you want to know and maybe some of what you don't want to know. Here's K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald.
All right, and welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two kicks off with our K-State insider, GoPowerCat.com publisher Tim Fitzgerald, getting ready for the big one, Fitz. I don't know if this is the sentiment for K-State fans. I would assume you're kind of with us. Really glad this game looks like it's going to be fun and interesting and competitive and wild. Much different than it did maybe a month ago.
Yeah.
Looks like we're going to get a good one, I think, this weekend, the way KU's been playing the last couple weeks.
I agree. I think KU might have found some solutions. Looks like Jalen Daniels is playing better. This is the same team we thought would compete for a Big 12 title, and there were reasons why, and they're wildly talented. I've just never seen a team go through exactly what they did in losing those close games. It wasn't a meteor falling from the sky. There was something going on that wasn't working for him, and Lance Leipold, being a pretty good coach, I think is figured it out and got him back on course. And this would be huge because they've got a rough patch coming down the home stretch if they want to get bowl eligible. And this would be a big step for them. But, you know, K-State always seems to rise to the occasion in this game, even last year when I thought KU was the better team on the field.
You know what? I was really impressed with the most, Fitz, when the Wildcats went to Morgantown last weekend, was the way that they were able to utilize DJ Giddens, because West Virginia, I mean, they made it pretty clear, like, they wanted to stop Giddens on the ground. That was something that they really wanted to do. But Avery Johnson, able to get him involved in the passing game, and Giddens was successful in doing so. That's something that, you know, again, the versatility and just everything that Giddens brings to the table. Now you've got, you know, multifaceted attack with this guy who is probably the best running back in the Big 12. I would imagine that's something that they want to continue to lean on.
Yeah, look, DJ Giddens has been dominant. And if a defense wants to commit that many resources to stop him, Avery Johnson just proved he can make you pay maybe even a bigger price than you would have paid by letting DJ operate a little bit better. So that was a really positive sign for Kansas State. You can see Avery Johnson's growth taking place, that would not have been nearly as good looking earlier in the year. He would have been thrown maybe a pick or two and had some mistakes, but he was right on track with this, how he played in this game. And he delivered everything K-State needed to answer the thought that you can take away their run game and they're in big trouble.
You're muted, Jacob.
Excuse me. Yeah, I agree with that, Fitz. How much of that, though, do you think it was injury related? What are you hearing with Avery? Is he, if he does need to tuck it and run it this weekend, is that something he's able to do physically?
Yeah, it is. And that's why they held him out of that last week. He went through, as a starting quarterback and a dual threat quarterback at that, an entire game without being tackled. He was in a clean pocket most of the night, or evaded the pressure, as we saw in a big fourth down play. He didn't take any hits. And I think that bought him another week of healing up from a very physical Colorado game. And from everything I'm hearing, he's good to go and fully involved in this game plan in terms of his skill set.
As Kansas State gets ready for KU, Fitz, looking at what the Jayhawks were able to do a week ago against Houston, defensively, it was the Kobe Bryant show, and it's going to be a completely different situation from going in up against the two quarterbacks that Houston brought out versus Avery Johnson, for sure. But for Kansas State offensively, is the game plan as simple as just take Kobe Bryant out of the equation? Like, don't throw to his side of the field, just completely avoid him? Or is that a little bit too simplistic?
Yeah, I don't think that will impact anything they want to do. They went at Travis Hunter at Colorado when he was on the field. You know, the thing is West Virginia attempted to do something that actually Kansas might be better equipped on the back end to do. West Virginia just didn't have the dudes in the back of their defense to cover as well as you need to if you want to try to take away the run game. Kansas might feel like they have the ability to do that with with better personnel on the back end, but they also don't have the same personnel up front to stop the run that West Virginia had. That's been a strength of their defense. So, he's just unavoidable. The way K-State runs its offense, it's very fluid, and it puts a lot of burden on the quarterback to make the right reads and put the ball where it needs to go. I don't see them avoiding anyone, but may not be a bad idea with that dude.
So tell me, Fitz, because Garrett Green being gone deceives me in what to look at K-State's defense as last week. I look at it, and a team was finally able to run the ball on them because that's been what they've been trying to take away, but it was almost all Garrett Green, and then he goes down. So now that wasn't as big a test on the ground as they're going to see from Kansas with those two talented backs. Do you feel like K-State's going to make Jalen Daniels beat them? Or they have to so many teams, load up to stop the two running backs and make Jalen Daniels do it? Is that still the game plan?
I'd imagine so. They'll pressure that line of scrimmage. I think Jalen Daniels as a runner is the concern now, as it is for KU and Avery Johnson, because the Garrett Green effect. They both had problems stopping that dude. And the only reason that K-State was able to stop him was he exposed himself to a big hit right before halftime, and it didn't work out. I mean, it was a great play by Austin Moore and just took him out of the game. But K-State's defense is very physical, and that is a risk you run when you run your quarterback or move your quarterback outside the pocket. So I think K-State's just going to have to play their typical defense, which is pressure the line of scrimmage and to the point of taking away the run game. But they've never had to put up so many resources there. They get exposed on the back end. But also, they better spy Jalen Daniels. They better, because he's getting back to his running game. And if he's doing that, then KU's offense has a lot more dimension to it.
Going back to Avery Fitz, one thing that Kansas defensively has really struggled with basically all season long is containing the quarterback. And, you know, they've made, I think I made the joke a few weeks ago, they make every quarterback in the Big 12 look like Michael Vick, you know, when they're out on the field, because they can just get ran all over. Do you anticipate Wildcats leaning into that and Avery utilizing his legs more in this game than maybe what we saw against West Virginia?
Well, certainly more than West Virginia, but, you know, possibly more than we've seen this season if he's
really
feeling like he's 100%.
Yeah.
This is a big part of the issue with KU's defense is that quarterback run game. And this will easily be the most mobile quarterback they'll face this season. And I just think K-State's going to come out and try to run the ball quite a bit. Between Giddens and Dylan Edwards, who seems, you know, prone to have a huge game right now, it just seems like the perfect window and matchup for him to break loose. And Avery Johnson, I think K-State can do a lot of damage on the ground, which gets back to your previous question, Tommy, about avoiding players in the secondary. Turn them into tacklers as much as you can. And if KU takes that away, then try to take advantage of that.
All of these things we're saying is why I felt like this feels like a shootout to me, Fitz. Mm-hmm. I think both offenses are going to be humming. I mean, Vegas has it at 55. I like the over there, but I do think this will be a game where both teams are able to score. And then to Tommy's point, you know, on turnovers, that may be a big fat. Both of these defenses are capable of that, right? KU's been inviting teams to throw it a ton so they can turn them over. We know Kansas has some of the best in the business at doing that. And then you're looking at a situation with two quarterbacks. Avery Johnson, the young quarterback, how key do you think a turnover or two might be? Or is K-State a big enough favorite that it won't kill them if they do make a couple of mistakes?
Good questions. It just depends on where the mistakes are. If you do them, you know, the way you did at BYU, you're going to get bumped. You know, they led directly to scores. So it kind of does kind of depend on if you make a mistake, how much of a price do you pay for it? But I also think, you know, K-State comes in here. The only teams that have run up numbers on K-State this year have had really efficient passing quarterbacks. We saw that at Colorado. Shedeur Sanders was unconscious in that game. I think he had 6 incompletions whole game over with 30 more throws. The young guy at Tulane was really good. So if Jalen Daniels can hurt them with the pass, they'll be able to keep up scoring. But I think K-State's the the better balance in the offense. They have the capability of hurting you both ways. And I keep coming back to this. It's on K-State's home field. And that is an advantage in itself. We'll see how it plays out. KU certainly is capable of winning this game. They're capable of turning this into a shootout. But that's going to require the K-State defense maybe to do some things they haven't done this year.
Following up on the turnover question, Fitz, we talked on Monday with Wyatt Thompson, and one of the things that we discussed with him was just the growth this season of Marquise Siegel and what he's been able to do defensively for Kansas State, and really just the development of him as being able to not only defend well, but also be that interception guy, and he did it against West Virginia as well. What have you seen as far as his growth overall and what he means to that defense?
He's turned into a really good leader. He has high expectations for himself, but he also, I'm be blunt here, he can be picked on. BYU picked on him. That was a lot of their offensive success, and they only had like 250 yards winning 38-9, but a lot of it was thrown right at him. So that'll be an area that I wouldn't be surprised if KU tries to get that matchup and exploit that, because he hasn't been great in coverage. He's been better in coverage this year. He's maybe less confused on some of the calls, but maybe he's just a step behind receivers on occasion. So keep an eye on Marquise Siegel, number 21, and what KU tries to attempt to do on offense.
Bubba Sherko, PowerCat.com, Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, joining us. You brought up a little bit ago, Fitz, that efficient quarterbacks have given K-State fits. Jalen Daniels is a really interesting watch then when you say that, because early in the year, he was one of the most inefficient quarterbacks in the country. Now, though, he's put two games together where we've started to see that old Jalen Daniels, who was defined by efficiency, and his last game was the most efficient he's played. As you've watched it, which Jalen Daniels do you think is in Manhattan? Because if it's the, if it's the Jalen Daniels of the last 2 weeks, and that's what gives K-State trouble, I think that's where we look at this game. And now, as K-State fans might look at it, become a little bit concerned.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth in that. I mean, you hate to boil a game down and say, if this kid plays well, they'll win. But that might be the truth for Jalen Daniels in Kansas. I don't see a road to victory for KU in which he's bad, and maybe not if he's just okay. I think Jalen Daniels needs to find his old ways and prove he can win a Big 12 road game. And, he's a whale of a talent. I think he's an amazing playmaker. And if he settles in, I think there's been some problems, fitting him into this new offensive scheme, the new philosophies, the play calling. And I think they found a middle here that is working a little bit better for Kansas.
I think what I'm so excited about or looking forward to with this matchup, maybe even a little bit different than in other years, is that, I know that as the winning streak for Kansas State has gotten to 15 years, almost every year, KU, maybe it actually has been every year, KU can play the spoiler to Kansas State, but they've not always had the capability of being actually doing that, completing that, achieving that. They can this year, and it's a different matchup than what we thought it would be at the beginning of the year, where we thought both of these teams could be in the Big 12 hunt. It's different now because Kansas State has a lot to play for to be able to continue on that path to a Big 12 title. But then KU also can just kind of unload everything and play that spoiler because the season hasn't really gone the way that they wanted it to go. Do you anticipate just with both of those two things coming together and clashing for Kansas State and for KU, that will play a big piece in that game? Or is that more on the external and doesn't really get in, to the way that the teams are preparing?
If you look at it from K-State's angle, you recognize the fact that KU might want to win this to salvage some dignity out of a season that was supposed to be historic. But if you look at it from KU's angle, you see victories and salvaging a season, not through beating your rival alone, but by finding a way to fight through the bad start and get bowl eligible and do something with your season. But either way, there's a tremendous amount of motivation here on the Kansas side that, you're right, hasn't always been there. They could pound their chest if they wanted to ruin a season, but you got to be able to pound the other team, and they weren't able to do that. Now, they were really close to doing it last year with a backup quarterback, and I think it it showed how much Lance Leipold's lifted this KU program and made this a better matchup. And we'll see if that can be replicated this season at the Bill.
K-State's got to have it. We almost got to the point. Like, I mean, BYU, they snuck it out. Iowa State snuck it out. Unfortunately, because what we've been talking about now is even more true, that K-State's got to win them all to get in there. They got to win this one. That's enough motivation in and of itself, isn't it? How much have they, and I know they say it, but how much do you think they can separate this from rivalry? Do you even want to? Do you want to embrace it? Or is the focus more on, this is another game we have to have if we want a chance at a national championship?
I think that's the message in the locker room. We just need to keep winning to progress through the season to get to the Big 12 title game. You win out, you're in Arlington. I think that's the message. But the 43% of the locker room that are Kansas kids are going to be pretty motivated in this. Yeah. And so there is a duality there that can play in K-State's favor. But anytime you're playing a night game at home in nice weather, you're going to be up for the game, whether it's, you know, you're playing Kansas or you're, you know, playing Oklahoma State or anyone else in this conference. So I expect K-State to kind of have their normal excitement for a home game at night against, you know, a pretty good team. And I think they'll rise to the occasion, but this is a rivalry. It hasn't, nothing weird's really happened in the last 15 years, but Saturday night could be the night.
How hard is it to not look ahead to the collision course that is Iowa State? Because, I mean, where BYU is, obviously they hold the head-to-head victory over Kansas State. They're undefeated in the conference. It's going to come down to Farmageddon, right, with Kansas State and Iowa State, if K-State can continue to stack up these victories. Is that difficult to, I think, you know, maybe from just anybody's perspective, to not be thinking about what lies ahead and what, just over a month from now?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, whether it's Kansas in this game, maybe not Houston next week, unless they play out of their minds. You get an off week, and then you've got what, Arizona State and Cincinnati at home. And look, that's three out of four at home, but all three of those opponents have an edge to them. KU seems to be rallying. The other two have succeeded far beyond what we thought they would be this year. And then, oh yeah, you go to Iowa State. There's not an easy step in this. And even going out on the road to Houston, anytime you're on the road, you don't know. But I do think this is very intriguing. But as you mentioned, Kansas State has an opportunity to beat Cincinnati, which is now in the picture. Arizona State a little bit. And, of course, Iowa State, which is soundly in the picture, and win all the tiebreakers with all of them. And they already have a win over Colorado. They have, you know, anyone else you can think of that might be contending other than Texas Tech, they'll have the tiebreaker on. So yeah, this sets up great for K-State, but you just got to line them up and pick them off. You got five games. If you win all five, you go to Arlington and most likely play BYU.
What do you guys have for us special this week? Sunflower Showdown at Go Power Cat.
I did a daily delivery kind of on what we talked about here today. So you can go check that out either at Go Power Cat or YouTube on our Go Power Cat channel about, you know, thanking Lance Leipold for making this game important to KU too, because it's been missing. We'd have the Power Cat pregame podcast that's up. We'll have the Friday walkthrough in the morning. And we got all kinds of written content, of course, coming out at Go Power Cat. You can check it out at either GoPowerCat.com or our YouTube channel, Go Power Cat. And of course, we've also got a preview on our Big 12 Insiders channel of this game that is available for everyone to watch.
You can follow Fitz on social media at Life of Fitz. It's not the same implications we thought on both sides, but I do think it is the level of competition, I hope it is, that we thought we might get to start the year. Fitz, we appreciate it. Enjoy the game. We'll be back here next week.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Break it all down.
Thank you.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. That's a good point. Thanks, you know, to Lance Leipold. You know, this game was close last year, Tom. It's a 4-point game. First time in a while it's been close. So you got to go back to like 2018 before last year to find it. And this is it for KU. I do think it's as simple as, and I know Shreyas yesterday said, oh, you know, they can still get to a bowl game. They can. This matters to KU fans more than making a bowl game, doesn't it? More than making a mayonnaise bowl.
I don't know about making a bowl game. It's probably neck and neck. Really, because it's a 15-year streak of them not being their in-state rival. So, yeah, it's extremely important to be able to hang your hat on that. But this program, at least in the Leipold era, has been judged by their ability to make bowl games. That's really what's, because they hadn't in so long. So, like, yeah, like that's still extremely important too.
Which of these outcomes would you prefer? Beating K-State and not making a bowl game, or losing to K-State and making a bowl game?
For me personally, it would be losing to K-State and making a bowl game. Because that's my benchmark. I want them to be bowl eligible. And I think that's a lot of KU fans. Like, their benchmark is, we don't always consistently need to be national champions, but we need to at least be playing in the around the holidays. That's extremely important. So for me, I can only speak for myself. It's okay to lose. I mean, they've lost 15 years in a row, so it's fine with me if they lose a 16th year in a row, but still make a bowl game.
Okay. You're probably right. I just don't care about bowl games as much, I guess. At least not those bowl games where you've got 2 5-win teams playing each other.
When you're on the outside looking in for so
playing
long.
Playing Central Michigan.
When you're out in the desert for a decade and a half and everybody else gets to enjoy time in the Oasis and you don't, that becomes extremely important. So for me,
they've been in the Sunflower Showdown Desert for 15 years, decade and a half.
Yeah, I get it, but you play that game every year. Yeah. It's not, you're guaranteed to play that game every year. You're not guaranteed to make a bowl.
All right. It's going to be fun either way. We'll see. Can't wait for it. Glad it's going to be more competitive. I think it'll be more competitive. We'll come back, react to any of that. The IHOP hotline, by the way, is back open for you at 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP. You can celebrate the weekdays. New IHOP house faves, all your favorites for just $6, Monday through Friday. We'll catch our breath. 2 straight guests means the phone lines are open for you. Sports Daily, Albrecht and Caster coming right back.
Tell your smart speaker to play 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
You want to win some HTO? Now is your chance. A free iced tea, more than 25 flavors to choose from, sweet and unsweet, and a free iced or hot coffee drink featuring free rain coffee. You can win one of each right now at any of the 3 Wichita Metro locations, East or West Wichita or in Derby. All you got to do to win is text the keyword tea to the short code 20357. That's tea to 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We come back here to Sports Daily, and Tommy, we have talked a little bit kind of bird's eye on the World Series. We probably won't have time tomorrow when we get game one. So let's look at this series and kind of make some predictions. I can tell you that I really would prefer if the Dodgers win this series. But man, I'm kind of liking the matchup for the Yankees a little bit more.
Does that simply come down to just the lineup from top to bottom, or
no? It's the pitching. It's the rotation. The Dodgers rotation isn't very good right now. Now they can they can do a lot of things to get through that. The futures market right now, the Dodgers are slight favorites. And again, I would really prefer the Dodgers win this. I just think the Yankees bring a whole lot more starting pitching that we can, you know, get a feel for coming into it. So for me, it's hard to not take that as the thing, because I think both of these lineups are great. Although I think the Dodgers is better. I think both the bullpens have enough arms. Just that starting pitching advantage seems to pretty clearly be with the Yankees.
I think the interesting thing about the Yankees this season is that, you know, really what they've become known for over the last, I don't know, 10 years, maybe even further back than that, probably the last time they won a World Series, is that it's a team that is usually full of star power, but they typically underperform. They typically, yeah, you know, don't live up to the expectations. And whether or not those expectations are fair or unfair year in and year out, we can debate that all day long, but they're real. It's the reality. And they've underperformed. But this is the first time in a long time that the Yankees collectively as a whole have not underperformed their expectations. They're right there. Now, individually, there are going to be players that you're going to look at and you're going to say, you know, yeah, like they need to probably come alive more in a World Series to have a great chance to win. Everybody knows the historical struggles that Aaron Judge has had in the playoffs over the course of his career. So that's really where you're going to start when you start talking about underperforming expectations. But they've been able to make up for it with guys like Giancarlo Stanton and others that have just absolutely blown up in the postseason. You're going to have to collectively have everybody when you're taking on a lineup like the Dodgers. You're going to have to keep pace offensively. Now, if the rotation for the Yankees, obviously headlined by Gerrit Cole, if they're able to neutralize that Dodgers offense, easier said than done. Even if you've got great pitching and the Yankees do, the Dodgers lineup is so potent. Then I think it does shift back to that Yankees lineup to try to keep pace as best as they can.
I think the winning, you know, team here is going to have to score a ton of runs. I think they both probably will score a lot of runs. It's just like in the first four or five innings, it'll be advantage Yankees. But and I thought their bullpen did a really nice job against the Royals. I do. And I'm a lot of what I'm going from is what we've seen in the postseason. The Dodgers and the Dodgers can totally come in here and outslug everybody. I'm going to tell you right now, and I don't root for the Dodgers normally, but it'll be far easier for me to root for Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani than it will be the Yankees. So I don't have this long-term hatred of the Dodgers like I do the Yankees. They just spend a ton of money now, so I'm kind of tired of that. But I like Kershaw. I like a lot of the players on that team. So it's a pretty easy root for the Dodgers moment for me, but you're a National League guy. You may be on the opposite side of that. It's just that the Yankees, growing up, the Yankees were the soul crushers for me in baseball. So I can't have them win in a World Series.
If they were the soul crushers to anybody, they were the soul crushers to me. Because when I was a kid, it was the Braves and the Yankees in the World Series basically every year, and the Yankees always beat them. So I get it. I mean, I'm right there alongside you. I grew up not liking them, not wanting them. I mean, it was just everything you could think of going all the way back to the 96 World Series where the Yankees that was kind of when, obviously Joe Torre had just gotten there and Derek Jeter had come up and all of that. And then they went on their run of dominance. And so, yeah, I get it. And I'm a National League guy by nature, so I don't really have a problem with the Dodgers all that much, although in recent years they've been the kryptonite to my Braves in the playoffs usually. So that's not fun either. But I just think from a 30,000-foot view, not being a fan of either one of these teams, from a star power perspective, as we talked about earlier this week, it checks all the boxes. Just from that, in that regard, it's must-see TV. It's must-watch games in the World Series just because of Judge and Ohtani and obviously Gerrit Cole and Mookie Betts and Juan Soto. I mean, you name it. Like, the list of the stars goes on and on.
So I'll tell you that it's a soul crusher. And I know that your Braves have. But you got to understand the Rangers, Tommy, have been used to be. Most of my life as when you're the most emotionally invested, right? When you're a kid, the Rangers made the playoffs three times ever in like my entire life, 25, 30 years. And they won one game against the Yankees in their three postseason. They played the Yankees all three times, and the other two times were sweeps. So they were 1-9 in those three series. So you go through most every season, and your favorite team is usually like the worst team in baseball. You finally break through to the postseason just to get absolutely crushed by the Yankees all three times. I hate the Yankees so much. Beating the Yankees in, what was that, the 2010 ALCS was one of the most satisfying sports things for me in my entire life. I hate the Yankees. I don't like them at all. I will not root for anybody. I would root for anybody rather than the Yankees. Anybody. But also, I'm glad that's there for this World Series. I am. Like, I'm glad that they are there, and I can hope that they get their souls crushed in this series. That's a good thing for baseball, I think. The Yankees, to me, are the most hateable team in all of sports. Always have been. Even more than the Lakers, even more than the Cowboys, if you're a Cowboys hater. Because I feel like if you're looking at the NFL, the Cowboys are probably the most hated and most loved team. But to me, the Yankees will always be sports' greatest villain. Always, always.
Yeah, I think we're arguing kind of about the same thing, that the Yankees right. just are the evil empire, but who's had it worse over the years? I mean, I can go back to Game 2 in the World Series in 1996, and the Braves won Game 2. They went up 2-0, and the Yankees won the next four games, won the World yeah. Series. And that Game 2, by the way, was the last World Series game victory that the Atlanta Braves had for 25 years until 2021. Yeah. So, I mean, come on. Like, and then they played them again in 98 yeah. and the Yankees
but at
swept
least
them.
You
like,
had it just, all the like, division championships and all those things cares? In between. Like, we didn't have anything.
I mean, they won consecutive there. League title, like, you know, division titles and all of that. That was great. They should have won more than one World Series, and I blame the Yankees for the reason why they didn't.
Those teams were so good. Man, those teams were good. Hate the Yankees. So if there are any Yankee fans out there, go fly a kite. Go Dodgers. We'll all put on the Dodger blue. Everybody but you will. And it'll be fun. It will add to the World Series. This will be a fun World Series. For a World Series where we don't have a vested rooting interest, this is going to be a fun World Series because you can root against the Yankees. Maybe you can root against the Dodgers if you so choose. But it's because of these star players. And I cannot wait to see Shohei Ohtani play in a World Series. Cannot wait to see him play in a World Series. I think if you're baseball, and I know, and I make fun of the ratings honks all the time, like, of course this is going to be the most viewed. Of course it is. Like, that shouldn't surprise anybody, nor should it make that big of a statement to anybody. But I think the real win for baseball, more than anything else in this series, is getting Shohei on this stage. It's what they didn't get out of Trout forever. They get Shohei to this stage, and now the whole world can watch one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player we've ever seen.
I haven't looked at the odds for World Series MVP. I'm sure the odds on favorite is probably Stanton. Maybe. I don't know. Or at least he would be like a really popular pick because of what he's done this postseason. But I'm kind of with you. I mean, Ohtani being the World Series MVP, I mean, that would be the dream, I think, for Major League Baseball. And I think Judge, I mean, obviously Judge is a star also, but getting Ohtani in his very first World Series ever to take that game over and be the World Series MVP, that'd be my pick.
He is the odds-on favorite. Shohei Ohtani is. Aaron Judge is 2. Juan Soto's 3. Mookie Betts is 4. Now I'm gonna tell
you. Where's Stanton at? Is he not? He's not in there at all.
I'm gonna tell you. If you think that the Yankees are gonna win this World Series, you can get Stanton right now at 9.5-1. One of the great postseason hitters we've ever seen. You can get it 9.5-1. That's pretty appetizing. I'm just looking at BetMGM here. There are some really fun bets. Most steals, most RBI, most hits. Like there are some fun, most home runs. There are some really good bets and fun bets that you can make in this series. The total number of games in the series. Like if you think it's good, you can go. You can basically get 2-1 if you think it's a 7-game series. There's a lot of fun stuff to do with it. I kind of like Stanton at a World Series MVP as much as any of it. 9.5 for that guy?
The crazy thing about this matchup, again, going back to the star power point of it, is that, you know, you go through the massive names, the Ohtanis and Judges and Sotos and, you know, all of that, and you don't even get to a point to where you're mentioning names like Freddie Freeman and Teoscar Hernandez, you know, yeah. It's not like Jack Flaherty is a, you know, a Jazz Chisholm. Like, there are names that are also stars in Major League Baseball that are overshadowed by the biggest in the game. And by the way, those players are also playing. So they're just from top to bottom. Like, I don't know the last time that we've had a World Series with that much star power on both sides.
It's been a very long time. And the funny thing is, it's not coming from the rotations, right? You usually get to this point of the season and that star power has come in the starting pitching. Neither one of these teams are built that way this year. And quite frankly, neither team last year was built that way either. We've seen a little bit of a shift in baseball with that. Here's a fun one for you. One more bet to chew on here, Tommy. BetMGM has, will Shohei Ohtani throw a pitch in the World Series? 50-1 on yes. Now, I know he's been rehabbing, right? Could you see a moment where they're in a situation in a high leverage bullpen moment where he comes in to pitch? One pitch, 50-1 odds.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But then, like, the fact that it's there kind of made me, I'm like, man, if I'm Roberts and Ohtani is good, like his, and he's had enough time, I think, to be good, and he's rehabbed through, and you've got runners on first to second, first and second, you got a one or two run lead in the seventh or eighth inning, and there, like, I could see a scenario where you let Ohtani come in there and pump a little gas. I haven't paid enough attention to his rehab, though.
I think it's reckless. And I understand you're going for a championship, but that's it's a little reckless. I think it would be, I don't want to say never say never. I think it would be a long shot. I think it'd be a very long shot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's all that different from him throwing a bullpen. If he's going to throw a bullpen, he's going to throw it as hard as he can, right? He's not going to let up. That's not the point of it. So I don't know. It's kind of a fun thing to chew on. I hadn't really considered that, but until I saw that bet. I don't, they may say that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, but maybe not. It'd be fun. It'd be awesome to see. You want to talk about juicy storylines. That'd be fantastic.
What are you, all right, are you saying Dodgers win, Yankees win? What do you think? How many games? What's your prediction?
I will vomit in my mouth if I were to pick what I was talking about at the beginning. So I'm not going to do that. I will say Dodgers in, let's go 7, baby. Let's make this a 7-game series.
I'm going to say Dodgers in 6. I think Dodgers are able to make it happen. I think they win in 6 games.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not picking the Yankees. Even if I think they have a clear advantage in the starting rotation, I'm not gonna. Those words are not coming out of my mouth. 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. You can reach it for one more full segment here on Sports Daily. We're coming right back on a Thursday. Don't go away.
And 1240. Tell your smart speaker to play 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. I've been excited about Thursday night football tonight when there's that much star power. Pal Jeffrey Parson chimes in. We're talking about Syracuse Pitt tonight. No, we absolutely will not be doing that. I would be talking out of my rear end. I know Jeffrey's a big Syracuse fan. But no, it's to me, Thursday night football is the NFL. I just get excited when these games are good. I am pro Thursday night football, 2 games on Monday night football. I don't mind it. And you know, I think Thursday night football has been a nice addition to the NFL. I think teams have gotten used to it. I think that, you know, it's a different wrinkle and everybody kind of has to do it. But this is why you get, look, these two teams have a chance to be two of the great stories of the NFL this year. The Rams with the injuries that they've had, they now look like they're almost healthy. The Vikings with Sam Darnold. I'll tell you, though, the Vikings don't win tonight, and now it's two losses in a row. That kind of sucks for them because they feel like they should have beat Detroit, let alone potentially drop two in a row. Going on the road after that game against a healthy Rams team, I just have this tick in the back of my head tonight, Tommy. I'm worried about the Vikings if you're a Vikings fan. I'm kind of with PJ. I kind of like that Rams plus three.
Yeah, I think my only hesitation with that is what I did bring up to PJ is that it might take a minute for the Rams offense to click on all cylinders because it's been a while since they've been at full strength. And, you know, so I think it's hard to have that expectation that right away from kickoff, if they have both Kupp and Puka available and they're healthy offensively, that it's just going to be pick up where they left off and just go right away. So the question on my mind is how long then will that take? Are we talking the first series where it's a little bit rusty? Is it the first quarter? Is it the whole game? That's worst case scenario for the Rams is that it's the whole game where they're, you know, trying to figure out how to get on the same page offensively. Sean McVay is too good of a coach, I think, to allow that to happen for too long, but you never know. And that just makes me a little bit nervous when you've got your two star wide receivers, both coming back for a Thursday night game and trying to find a way to get everybody back acclimated with one another. So I'm still probably going to ride with the Vikings in this game.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to mess with the line. I want to scream overs to the rooftops just because I want it to be so, but I have a hard time. I'd probably have to tease that down because I also think both teams are going to try to run the ball first and foremost. And if they do, it makes it a little trickier. Aaron Jones has been really good for the Vikings, really good for the Vikings. And in this year where, you know, it's been more open in the NFL outside of the Chiefs, obviously, but just, you know, the rest of the league feels like it's kind of a jumbled mess. I think both of these teams if fully healthy by the time the playoffs rolled around, these would be two teams capable. And maybe I'm higher on the Rams than I should be, man. I'm high on their coach, high on their quarterback. They've been without these two star receivers essentially the entire season. And I just am excited for Stafford more than anybody else to see, you know, hopefully those two guys be able to be a part of the offense for a while. And if it is, now you've got those two receivers, Justin Jefferson's on the field at the same time. You got Aaron Jones out there, like all these stars. That's what I like. Give me that on Thursday Night Football. I wish we could flex into Thursday Night Football to make sure we get games like this and not games like we got last week. I know that's impossible, at least seemingly. But I wish we could flex it because this is far better for the league, what we'll see tonight versus what we saw last week.
The best thing about last week, and I know it was just a dud of a game, a stinker of a game with the Broncos and the Saints, and the Broncos obviously got the win, and you know, Bo Nix kind of was able to, you know, show off a little bit. But the best thing with that game was that you also had playoff baseball going on at the same time. And so for me, it was easy to just be like, yeah, I'm good with Thursday Night Football. I'm going to watch playoff baseball. You don't get that tonight. And luckily, it's a better matchup in the NFL. So that makes it a whole lot easier to be able to watch or even listen to that game.
Breaking news. So the Chiefs finally make official the DeAndre Hopkins news.
Okay.
Right?
Good.
So they send out a tweet 26 minutes ago, official. Right. They can welcome it in. Basically, they can talk about it now. They also follow that up with a roster update. Sky Moore is on the IR with a core muscle injury.
Okay.
Core muscle injury for Sky Moore. Man, just like, what, do we have to pretend like these things happen? Like, obviously, that's whose roster spot DeAndre Hopkins is taking. But come on now. Like, you got to place him on IR, too.
I think it's about time for everybody to bid a fond farewell to Sky Moore. Don't you think?
I don't know why I feel so bad for him. I do.
Because you were the biggest Sky Moore believer.
No, it's not just that. I don't care that much about that. But, like, every time he gets an opportunity, like that dropped pass last week, I'm just like, oh man.
Like if you had an action figure that was named after you and it had the pull string with different phrases that you like to say, it would be Sky Moore. For 2 years. It was all we heard, Sky Moore.
Two, yeah, because the Chiefs put that much investment into him and it has just failed so colossally. Yeah. And he's not the only receiver that they've really swung and missed on. They've done that a lot over the years, but I just, What I feel bad about is this gift-wrapped opportunity for a guy, and he just cannot stop fumbling it away. Maybe he'll go somewhere else and it'll get figured out, but man, you couldn't cherry pick a better opportunity for a young receiver than what he's had the last 3 years in the way the chips have fallen. But a core muscle injury today is placing him on the IR. That's the spot, though. That's the roster move for DeAndre Hopkins. It's official. Wish we would have got it yesterday, because I'd like to hear Andy Reid's take on it, but we didn't. So we'll have it there. He'll practice. He'll play this week. I'm curious to see how much. That's something to watch. We'll get more into it with our picks tomorrow. We're coming right back. We got one more segment. We'll tell you what's on the network. We'll return on Sports Daily.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Mm.